And now for something completely different.
Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal. The full story. The whole enchilada. It's the Lance Roberts Show. Presented by Clarity Financial. It's life, money, and sweat equity. Now, welcome in to the Lance Roberts Show.
And good Friday afternoon to you. I'm your host, Lance Roberts, and you're listening to the Lance Roberts Show podcast right here at realinvestmentadvice.com. Thanks for joining us today. A few things kind of going on right now as we kind of wrap up the markets. The markets are closing right now. The S&P's up just marginally, up about 0.8 points. NASDAQ's down about 6. Dow's up about 8. It was really kind of a pretty quiet day. Markets pretty much just kind of traded sideways most of the day. Kind of the big news of the day, of course, is really what sent the markets to the downside early this morning, which was news from the Trump administration that, well, he's looking to impose another $200 billion in tariffs on China. Of course, again, this whole trade war issue, as we've talked about over the last several days, markets don't like that. Now, I will tell you this, though. This is the interesting sideline of this, is that earlier this year when we had the sell-off in the markets, that was also tariff-driven. That was where these tariffs were first being announced, and we had a fairly big sell-off in just a couple of weeks. The market lost about 10% because of the threat of tariffs on future earnings and outlooks for companies. And, of course, this whole ongoing diatribe about tariffs and what's going on with China and what's happening between the U.S. and all this, as you notice now, while we are still getting a negative impact from these announcements of tariffs, it really isn't much anymore. We get a few points to the downside, and then quickly the markets kind of absorb it, saying, we've heard this story before. Because as of yet, those tariffs really haven't worked their way through the system. See, we haven't been through an earnings period yet where we're starting to see the real impacts of tariffs. We've had a lot of talk about it. We've had a lot of conversations about tariffs, but we haven't seen the real impact to earnings. See, the risk to the markets from tariffs is going to be when it actually shows up in bottom line earnings. You know, right now, earnings estimates are still very elevated. We have an extremely high expectation for continued growth and quarterly earnings because of tax cuts. But again, when these tariffs show up, and if they do show up and start to suppress bottom line earnings per share, and companies really begin talking about the impact of that, that's going to be a different story altogether for the markets. Now, it's interesting in the Fed's beige book, every month the Federal Reserve comes out with what's called the beige book, and it's really kind of a survey of regional manufacturing. The word tariffs was repeated over and over and over again through that beige book announcement. In fact, it was one of the most prevalent topics through the entire beige book, which is concerns, not necessarily a direct impact yet, but concerns by manufacturers and producers of what tariffs would mean to them, whether it's higher steel prices, commodity prices, etc. So pay attention to that. It is important. Now, the good news for today is that we've continued this rally in the markets. If you're watching our live stream right now, you can catch us on at livestream.com or simply go to our Facebook page or subscribe at our YouTube channel, Lance Roberts Show, and you can subscribe and keep up with all of our videos right there online. But if you're watching our live stream right now, we talked about this yesterday. The markets really kind of bounced off this previous breakout high, which was extremely important because when we broke above the January highs, and this occurred back on August the 27th, the markets jumped up. We came down, retested that breakout level. See, that was very important because, see, that confirmed the breakout. The markets bounced off that support, and now we're retesting. We're really close to retesting the high that was set back in August. Now, that's if we break above that, that's going to be new all-time highs for the markets and should propel this market further up towards 3,000. And again, that's kind of our interim target right now for the markets between now and the end of the year. We could certainly go a little higher than that, but 3,000 is a big round number, and I think traders are really going to be focusing on trying to get the markets up to 3,000. It's just, again, it's kind of one of those big psychological round numbers. It's like, you know, Dow 25,000, Dow 26,000. Everybody gets hats and puts it on, and it's just a big round number. It doesn't mean anything. It's just simply one of those millennial marks. And so there's a real possibility here that traders are going to try to make that push. Now, when they do that, of course, that's going to be kind of exciting for the markets and things. But again, what it brings back into focus is simply the direction and trend of the overall market. And this is why we recommended increasing exposure after we came down and retouched that high and then bounced off of that. We said, okay, go ahead and add some exposure. We increased exposure in portfolios a bit last week, this week as well, adding a few new positions to our portfolios. Of course, our portfolios have been pretty much fully allocated this entire run, but we had a little bit of cash available. We wanted to put that to work here because of this whole idea we may make a run to 3,000. I will tell you though, there's a couple of areas that do elicit some concern right now that we're definitely paying attention to. One is taking a look at some of the leader companies in the markets. Amazon is a good example here. Despite the fact that the market's trying to reach here to new highs, Amazon is actually forming a declining trend in price. A break below about 1920 on Amazon is going to be a bigger trouble for the stock shorter term on a technical basis. Could definitely push the stock lower. So you definitely want to keep a watch on that. But more importantly, this was one of the main leaders that was driving the market higher as of earlier this year. It's part of one of the FANG stocks, right? Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google. That stock has not been leading while this market's going up. Speaking of Netflix, it's another good example. It's not been a leader either. In fact, if you take a look at a lot of the FANG stocks, in general, they have already shown signs of weakness and are no longer, this is Google, no longer leading the market. So when you lose your leaders in the markets, that's certainly telling you that there's something going on. We're having a rotation within the markets, and we want to watch this very carefully because these big major companies, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, etc., those previous leaders are no longer leading right now. Now, I shouldn't say that entirely because it's not exactly the case across the entire board. Apple is still continuing to lead. It's in a nice positive uptrend. It did have a correction as of late going into earnings, but after their announcements the other day, it is improving. Microsoft, on the other side of this, as also the same thing. So out of the FANG stocks, we still have two of the leaders still leading, but it's a much narrower charge in the markets currently. Furthermore, as we've talked about here recently, emerging markets continue to be a real drag overall. And again, when you take a look at what's happening with emerging markets and international stocks, the underperformance there is quite significant, which potentially suggests, and again, if we look around the global markets, right, we look at the Shanghai, we look at Japan, we look at a lot of the European countries, those markets are down 15-20%. But yet we've got a U.S. market near all-time high. So again, it really suggests that the global economic environment isn't nearly as strong as what is we kind of currently believe in the markets, right? The U.S. economic data looks good, but all around the rest of the world, there's a good bit of deterioration going on. And again, it's possible that the U.S. can kind of remain an island in the storm, so to speak, for some time. But eventually that global economic weakness, if it doesn't pick back up, is going to start to weigh on the growth of the U.S. In fact, we're already seeing some early indications here in the U.S. Trucking demand is starting to drop a bit. We're seeing some other areas of the markets. Auto sales came out today, very weak in what's happening with the auto sales. Retail sales weaker than expected. Again, those are some of the early kind of warning signs we want to pay attention to. Production was up, but that was due to a huge surge in air conditioning. So there's a demand on some things that are utility-based that's also a drag on consumer spending. So again, this is why I'm saying we want to kind of pay attention to some of these internal factors that are currently going on in the markets. Also, too, we talked about some of the semiconductor stocks, KLA-Tencor, as well as Micron. Also, previous good leaders of the markets have really broken down here as of late as well. So again, when we come back and look at the global markets, pay attention to your money. The markets overall continue to look fine. Again, I'm not really worried about much right now, but you definitely want to pay attention to what's happening in some of the sectors and pay attention to what the risk is in your overall portfolio. If you've got any questions, be sure and get by the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. Send me an email. Always happy to help you out any way that I can. But again, just pay attention to the global risk. Our newsletter will be out tomorrow. We're talking about some of these very same things, about the trend of the market, and also why this market looks a whole lot more like 1998 than it does 2015, and there's a lot of similarities there. So that'll be out in the morning, so make sure you're subscribed at the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. Be right back after the break, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Robert Shiller today, talking about why this bull market could last a whole lot longer than you currently expect. Don't go away. That's coming up next right here on the Lance Roberts Show at realinvestmentadvice.com.
The Lance Roberts Show is a production of Clarity Financial and Real Investment Advice. For past episodes, blog posts, and additional information, go to our webpage, realinvestmentadvice.com. Additional sponsors include the Whitsitt Vision Group, now with 3 locations in the Houston area, including Katy, Spring Branch, and The Woodlands. Dr. Jesse McKee has performed thousands of lens replacement procedures, including Lance Roberts and Brent Clanton's. See clearly. See Whitsitt Vision Group, WhitsittVision.com. And by Clarity Financial. Clarity Financial is dedicated to building, preserving, and protecting your wealth and guiding you to achieve your financial goals now and into the future with a holistic approach to financial life planning. Find out more or book an appointment today at MyClarityFinancial.com. The Lance Roberts Show is recorded before a live internet audience in the Clarity Financial Studios, deep within the Energy Corridor of Houston, Texas. Look for our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever better podcasts are found. You can watch today's video clips on our YouTube channel for The Lance Roberts Show.
Yep, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Lance Roberts, of course, as we were just talking about. Dr. Robert Shiller, of course, he is the famed professor who came out with the whole issue on looking at long-term valuations in the market, you know, the famed Shiller, what they call the cyclically adjusted P.E. ratio, which is a 10-year average of earnings divided by the price of the, or divided into the price of the markets, to smooth out what happens on yearly changes to valuations. Of course, when we go back through history and look, every time this CAPE ratio was really kind of above a level of 23 times earnings going into the 1980s, that had pretty much marked the peak of the market cycle at that time, whether it was 1929 or 1965. 23 times earnings was kind of the de facto level of overvaluation. Now, I actually wrote an article on the website today talking about, have valuations been shifted permanently higher? See, we had this very strange anomaly that occurred in the markets in 1980 and 1990. And if you go back and look at the trend of overall prices in the markets and what happened, there was this upward shift in the prices of the markets and how markets reacted 1980 and 1990 going into 2000. And valuations subsequently went so high. We went to 44 times earnings in 2000 with the tech bubble that it skewed the underlying long-term average of PE ratios. And because of that skew, everybody now assumes that we now have a permanently higher level of valuation. So in other words, we're not ever going to correct back to 6, 7, or 8 times earnings. What's going to happen is that we may correct back to the long-term average of, say, 15 or 16, and that's going to be the bottom. And that's a very risky bet to make, considering that lower rates of economic growth, lower rates of inflation are historically proven to reduce valuations over time. And what we've had since 1980 is this continuing decline of economic growth and inflationary pressures, and now we're residing at a very low rate that is likely to remain with us for decades to come. In fact, even the Federal Reserve currently expects that the long-term run rate on economic growth will be about 2%. And that has a lot of implications to overall market valuations as well as to overall market returns, because historically speaking, when we go back and look back through history, we say, well, what did GDP grow at?
GDP grew at 6%. What did earnings per share grow at? Roughly 6%. What was capital appreciation on stocks? Roughly about 6%. And that makes total sense because companies, which make up the stock market, are a function of the economy, not vice versa. The economy is not a function of the stock market, right? If the stock market's going up 18% a year, the economy's not growing at 18% a year. The economy grows at about the rate of population growth plus wages and inflation. So that's where you get your 6% going back historically because people have to buy stuff. And since people buy stuff from the companies that manufacture it, it's not surprising that historically, well, you see corporate earnings as well as stock prices basically mirror the growth of the economy. Now, there are times that there is a deviation from that trend of growth, and that's perfectly understandable. It has a lot to do with psychology and behavior, et cetera. And there are times that during major bull markets and, well, even bear markets, prices and growth and earnings deviate from the actual economy. But ultimately, at the end of the day, over the long term, growth is going to reflect the economy. Okay, now having said that, if the economy is expected, as the Federal Reserve suggests, again, this isn't me, Federal Reserve, suggests that the long-term run rate on the economy is about 2%, which means that the long-term run rate on interest rates is going to be about 2, 2.5%, and the long-term run rate on inflation is going to be about 2%. So when we want to calculate expected rates of return for stocks over the long term, inflation plus economic growth is about 4%. So all of a sudden, if you're banking, that should wake you up for a second, because if you're banking on 6 and 7 and 8% rates of return in order to meet your retirement goals, you may be disappointed. And this is an interesting situation because here we are back at levels, in terms of valuation, that have only been seen one other time in history. We're at 33 times earnings. The peak of all bull markets was 44 times earnings, and that was due to the fact that we had a whole explosion in the internet back in 1990 and, 2000, and early 2000. And so this one-time anomalous shift in valuations has theoretically shifted everybody's perspective higher. But in reality, that's not likely to always be the case. In fact, we're likely to see a long-term shift lower in valuations. Ultimately, if it is true and the Fed is correct that economic growth is going to remain sluggish for a long period of time. And there's a lot of evidence for that. We've got a maturing economy. We've got massive levels of debt, which erode economic growth. So there's a lot of reasons to be to understand the consequences that are going to lead to long-term slower rates of economic growth. A lot of it has to do with structural reforms as well as demographic issues as well. But that doesn't mean in the short term that valuations can't go higher. And I thought it was interesting today that Robert Shiller, the guy who developed the whole cyclically adjusted PE ratio, that is a driver for forward expected rates of return. And we talked about this before, and I don't want to get into this too deeply today. But valuations, what you pay for earnings today, the price, PE ratios are the price divided by the earnings that you're going to get. So if you pay $10 for a dollar's worth of earnings, you have a PE of 10, right? So you're paying 10 times the earnings rate. And what that suggests is that if you're paid out all the earnings a company makes at 10 times earnings, in other words, say it's a private company, so the stock price, you're not getting anything on the stock price. You invest your capital into a company, the company pays you out a dollar every year, and in 10 years, you're going to get your money back. That's what a PE ratio means, effectively. How many years would it take you to recover your pro rata share of earnings based on the number of shares you own? We're currently at 33 times earnings. Historically, when earnings have exceeded 23 to 25 times earnings, forward expected rates of return, in other words, what we would expect to receive over the next 10 years to 20 years, have fallen to less than 5%, generally between 2 and 3%. At 33 times earnings, you're talking about roughly 0 to 2% over the next decade to 20 years in terms of return on your investment. As Warren Buffett once said, the price you pay today is the value that you will get, right? Price is what you pay, value is what you get. So if I pay too high of a price for something today, I'm going to have a low return on it over the long term. That's all we're talking about here. And the cyclically adjusted PE ratio was a design that was put together by Dr. Robert Shiller to help smooth out the volatility of valuation so there was a better correlation to long-term expected rates of return. Okay. But that doesn't mean in the short term that just because valuations, and this is where it's often misconstrued, people go, well, you know, the Shiller PE ratio has been above 25 and the markets are still going up. Well, yeah, that's true. That is the case. Valuations are not a market timing indicator. What valuations simply tell you is what your expected rates of forward return is going to be. Not tomorrow, not next week, over 10 years, over 20 years. That's what it tells you it's going to be. So with stocks hovering at record highs here and valuations at the second highest level on record, the forward expected rates of return from current valuation levels is going to be low. But that doesn't mean, and this was a point that Dr. Shiller made today, is that in the short term, it doesn't mean that valuations can't go higher. Just because you're already at a very high level of valuations doesn't mean that those valuations can't go higher. And this is one of the misconceptions that's always brought up, because I'm a big advocate of valuations. I talk about the risk of overvalued markets quite often, and people assume that simply because I talk about it, well, that I must not be invested, I must be sitting in cash waiting for the crash. And that's absolutely not the case. As we talked about just a moment ago, we were adding exposure with the recent breakout, even more, putting more equity risk in the markets. Why? Because the market trend is positive, the bullish sentiment is positive. We have a lot of margin debt in the markets, which margin debt and leverage increase the ability to push asset prices higher. Consumer confidence is high, which is and investor confidence is high, which is pushing asset prices higher. People right now have more exposure to stocks than ever before in history. That's pushing asset prices higher. There is no fear in the market. There is absolute complacency against a crisis in the market, which is good, and it induces market prices to go higher. So yes, that is why we have allocated more money to the markets, but doesn't mean we're not paying attention to the risk of the markets. But this is what Dr. Shiller said today. He said, Shiller said that Donald Trump's support for corporate America, which he says is driving sentiment, see, and market strength. The S&P index has climbed almost 9% this year, with the total return to investors running an annual rate of about 10%. It has something to do with our president, who is an exceptionally business-oriented president and who wants to deregulate and favors lower taxes. Now, remember, the Congress is trying to pass another tax reform bill that's going to further expand our deficit and increase more liquidity in the markets. That's the idea. Dr. Shiller goes on to state, he says, this has an effect on the market, but it goes beyond the rational, logical effect. It has something to do with our animal spirits. Again, sentiment, how we feel. The U.S. is doing great right now in terms of strength of the economy and the stock market. That seems to be built around the story at this point in history. He goes on to say, he says, valuations may be among the most extreme in long-term history, but they are still below the heady days of the technology boom of 44 times earnings at the turn of the century. The cyclically adjusted price-earnings ratio, which was popularized by Dr. Shiller, can go higher. And the point that he's making is that don't misunderstand the fact that because valuations are high, it doesn't mean that when you have a speculative boom going on in the markets, which we do right now, I mean, when you look at companies like Tilray, right? This marijuana stock came out at $20 in earnings just a couple of months ago. It's now like $150, right? It's just gone straight up. When you have that type of speculation in the market, it tells you that investors have become completely complacent to the risk of loss. And that means that they're willing to drive asset prices higher. valuations can go a lot higher. This is Dr. Schiller's quote. The stock market could get a lot higher before it comes down. It's highly priced, but it could get much more highly priced. But, quote, it's a risky market right now. And he's absolutely right. It is risky. And as I'm writing for a blog post on Monday, I'll have this out. We're talking today about the components to make dynamite. And if you break down dynamite into its raw components, sand, nitrogen, glycerin, paper, all those individual ingredients really are pretty inert. However, when you combine them together and apply a process to them, well, you wind up with dynamite. But dynamite itself is fairly stable. Nitroglycerin wasn't so stable. But dynamite's pretty stable. And you can, as long as you store it properly, you really don't have a lot of danger. As long as it's stored properly, taken care of, kept dry, etc., you don't really have much of a worry with dynamite. Light the fuse accidentally or on purpose, and you have an issue. And that's the same way we have the market today. We have high valuations, which in and of itself is not an issue. High valuations beget higher valuations. Leverage is at near all-time highs, but higher leverage induces prices to go higher, which induces people to take on more leverage. Leverage begets leverage, which drives asset prices higher. Confidence begets more confidence, drives asset prices higher. So we have all these individual ingredients that are actually bullish for the market. As long as people are confident and have and they are complacent and they are not worried about risk and they've got capital to invest or leverage to access to put into the markets, asset prices can go higher, driving valuations higher. But all those ingredients, when put together, are the market dynamite. Because eventually, at some point, whatever that catalyst is, whatever lights that fuse that triggers a reversal in sentiment that leads to selling, eventually triggers margin calls, which forces more selling, which unwinds leverage, increases more selling, which hits liquidity issues, which unravels the whole thing as the entire process collapses. And if you want a great look at how that occurs, go back and look at September the 15th of 2008. The market was already in a decline starting from earlier that year. And in September, when Lehman was forced into bankruptcy, Lehman wasn't the cause of the great financial crisis. They were simply the poster child of what the crisis was going to be because that fuse had already been lit. It was just the moment of the Lehman bankruptcy that the dynamite exploded and the margin calls came, the crisis occurred, people's sentiment changed, and it was no longer a buy-the-dip market. It was a get-the-hell-out-of-the-market. And that's what will eventually happen in the future. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen today. And it's not going to happen tomorrow or next week. Something has to change the sentiment of investors in the markets. Rising interest rates, emerging market crisis, who knows what it is. But at every point in history, we go back and look at 1929, 1974, 1969, 1965, 1987, 1999. 2007, every point in history have all these same ingredients in common. Leverage, speculation, confidence. Stocks are at a new permanently high plateau, Dr. Irving Fisher said in 1929. The ingredients are always the same. The trigger is always the same. It's interest rates going higher. When interest rates rise, eventually you're going to hit a point to where something breaks in the credit market, the finance market, etc. Interest rates are going up. The short-term interest rate has risen dramatically. In two more rate hikes, the 10-year Treasury is going to be above the Fed funds rate will be above the Treasury rate. And at every point in history, when Fed funds have increased at a level greater than the 10-year Treasury rate, you have had a recession, a crisis, market correction, or more. But again, that doesn't mean today or tomorrow. This is the point of the conversation, which is that Dr. Shiller's absolutely right, is that valuations are high, and they can certainly go higher because the bullish optimism in the markets is exuberantly bullish. And this is why we're invested in the markets. This is why our portfolios remain long the markets. But the reason I point out these other things is that we want to be aware that they exist, so that at some point in the future, when we begin a turn, when we begin a change, when these things begin to evolve and prices begin the initial slow decline, we want to be aware of it so we can make a change, so we can reduce the risk in our portfolios, we can protect our capital. Because as investors, that's what we're supposed to do. We can't buy low at the next major crisis point unless we have sold high to begin with. So managing money is our process. Managing money is what we're supposed to do as investors. And that's why Warren Buffett's number one rule is don't lose money. Number two, refer to rule number one. That's got to be your rules too. That's going to wrap up our show for the day. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. You're listening to Lance Roberts Podcast. Be sure to get by our website. The newsletter will be out in the morning, so make sure you get that. Also, while you're at the website, make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. We'll email it to you. And we also email you a technically speaking update every Tuesday, so we keep you up to date on the markets, what we're doing with our portfolios. And of course, check out rapro.net. You can subscribe for free right now. It's got our actual portfolios that we're running. And of course, we'll be updating those for our purchases this week, this weekend. So all those will be on the website at realinvestmentadvice.com. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. Have a great weekend. See you back here on Monday at 3 for the next edition of the Lance Roberts Show. RealInvestmentAdvice.com. It's a rich man's world.